Welcome to Our Redeemer's Lutheran Church in Helena, Montana. We are a member church of the ELCA, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Today is Sunday, January 5th, 2020, and we are celebrating Epiphany today. The gospel reading is Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. Let's listen now, followed by a sermon by our pastor, Arnie Berglund.
In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is the shepherd of people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star and they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Beloved of God, abundant grace, mercy, and peace is yours in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Some 5 centuries before the birth of Jesus, the prophet Isaiah wrote the poem that we read, or at least part of the poem that we read as our first lesson this morning. It was something of a pep talk for God's people. They had been in exile in Egypt for a couple of generations, and upon returning to their homeland, they discovered that Jerusalem had been leveled, and they were in despair. They were in their home, but their home was no longer there. In the middle of that mess, Isaiah invites his depressed and discouraged contemporaries to look up with hope, to expect everything to change. "Rise, shine, your light has come." The poet anticipates the fulfillment of the promise of God that Jerusalem will turn it around, will prosper, nations will come to your light, kings to the brightness of your dawn, caravans loaded with trade goods will come from Asia and bring prosperity. It was a promise of stability and prosperity, a cause for celebration. God has promised to make it all work, that the people might live in peace, a peace that they had not known for generations. It was a hope to cling to in a time when hope was hard to come by. Isaiah's words of comfort are echoed today as we remember the story of the Magi, the wise men who traveled a great distance to visit the Christ child. Like Matthew, the wise men knew about Isaiah's poem, Isaiah's pep talk. Scripture told them to go to Jerusalem to take with them rare spices and gold and frankincense and myrrh. Most importantly, they knew that they would find the new king of all peace and prosperity. But when Herod, the current king in Jerusalem, heard of these plans, he was frightened. After all, a new king is a threat to the old king and the old order. Now, the story takes here an interesting twist. In his panic, Herod arranges a consultation with the leading biblical scholars of the day, and he says to them, "Help me out here. Tell me about this Isaiah 60. What is all this business about camels and gold and frankincense and myrrh?" Well, the scholars tell him, "You've got the wrong text. These wise men are using the wrong text. Isaiah 60 will mislead you because it suggests that Jerusalem will prosper. It suggests that there will be security. In that scenario, the elites can rest easy that their power and their prestige will not really change. It really doesn't help the Magi in their quest in the least." Well, Herod still isn't satisfied with what he hears, and so he says, "Well, then give me a better text." The scholars are afraid of their angry king, but they tell him with a little bit of trepidation that the right text is Micah chapter 5. "But you, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, from you shall come forth the one who is to rule in Israel, whose origin is from of old." Not Jerusalem, Bethlehem. Bethlehem. A tiny little out-of-the-way community. Not a place of the high and mighty. Not a place that is impressive with high towers and great arenas or banks and urban achievement. Here is a voice that anticipates a different kind of future, a future that's not yet, a future that will organize the peasant land in resistance to the powerful threats. Micah anticipates a leader who will bring well-being to his people, not by political ambition, mind you, not at all by power and might, but by gentle attentiveness to people. Herod lets the wise men know of the secret, and the rest is history. The Magi take a turn for Bethlehem, this dusty, rural, unnoticed and unpretentious community, but the right location for the birth of the one who will offer an alternative to power and might in the gentle birth of a baby, of God come down to be with us. The story of Epiphany is a tale of these two very different human communities, Jerusalem with its great pretension and Bethlehem with its modest promises. We can choose a return to normalcy in a triumphalist mode, a life of self-sufficiency for the elite, for the powerful. Mind you, that always comes with its own seeds of destruction. But there is an alternative that comes in the innocence and a hope that confounds worldly expectation. We can receive life given in vulnerability in this Christ child born to us. It's amazing that it's true accent of Epiphany that the wise men do not resist the alternative of Jerusalem, but go rather to Bethlehem. Rather than hesitate or resist, they recognize how Bethlehem reorients their expectations. Now, Bethlehem is 9 miles south of Jerusalem. The wise men were wise, but they had blown the call on this one. They had missed their goal by 9 miles. And we could well wonder how the story might have gone differently had Herod's interpreters not remembered Micah chapter 5. Our task is to let the vulnerability of Micah 5 disrupt the self-congratulation of Isaiah 60. We might wonder if we, like the wise men, are looking in the wrong place. Are we off by 9 miles? This story invites us to travel those hard, demanding miles away from a love of security and power to the epiphany of God with us. It invites us to set aside dreams of power for the good news of God's love in Jesus Christ. Epiphany is a good time to take that journey, a good time to be reminded that hope is not found in power or wealth or security, but rather something quite different from that. It's found in vulnerability, in neighborliness, in generosity, a modest future where swords are turned into pruning hooks, a concern for those forgotten and left behind, a hope for those who are hopeless and homeless and forgotten. If epiphany means a sudden breakthrough, a new experience with truth, then we know that the birth of Christ is the breakthrough of history. It is a light in the darkness. And if that is true, if that is what we find in the manger, if that is what we hold to be most sacred, then it means that God's way makes a difference. Not only in some future life, in fact, most explicitly in our life here today, in the here and now, it makes a difference for you and for me. Celebrating the birth of Christ is an opportunity then for all Christians to begin anew, to be born again, to a life of hope and promise. A life that promises that we will be changed in the light of God's good news. Now the church, the baptized people of God, is created by the Holy Spirit. It's created through the gospel so that the good news might be proclaimed, that we might proclaim the birth of God among us in the Christ child, that we might proclaim God's crucified Messiah who came to save. We are called to follow the Magi to Bethlehem, not Jerusalem, Bethlehem. And as the gathering of children, youth, men, and women who hear, who believe, who receive the living Christ in word and sacrament, the church is a witness to that Messiah. The proclamation of the gospel as the good news of God's salvation given through this birth, this life, this death, this resurrection of Jesus distinguishes the church from all other communities. The gospel is there to liberate us from sin, death, evil, and all that motivates the world to hold on to empty promises. We do not live for some future hope. We live in a present hope of a God who comes to us, who comes for us. We do not wait for some grand conclusion of God's promise, because God's promise has come to us in the flesh, in Christ, working to reconcile the world to God's intention. We live in that light, in the here and now, showing God's love by the way that we respond to our neighbors, in how we ensure that amongst us, people are allowed to live in peace and freedom. It's found in how we welcome strangers, not just to our churches, but our communities, to our country. We work to turn swords into plowshares, as difficult that may be. We work to do that so that God's peace may be a reality, called in the here and now, not to Jerusalem, but to Bethlehem, called not to power and wealth, but to service, humble service, love of neighbor, called to learn to love and not hate, to live hope and not live fear, to walk someday in the way of justice, grace, and mercy. No easy task. No easy task for those living in unsettled, in worrisome times that we find ourselves in. No easy task. Yet, faithful people, we are called to be a light in the world, a light that exists in the darkness, mind you. Scripture tells us that. But a light that shines in the darkness and is not overcome by that darkness. So as we follow the Magi to Bethlehem, we might continue to be that flicker of hope in the midst of many dark days. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen among you. Amen.